CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live Bible answer program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. If you have a question on the Bible or the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. That's 1-888-ASK-CSN. Now let's get things started. Here's today's host.
Well, hi, and welcome to Monday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. I'm Scott Parker, today in for Mike Kessler, as we begin a new week of answering your questions on the Bible, the Christian faith, and current events. And so we would love to have you to give us a call. We have lines open right now, and that number is 8888-ASK-CSN, 8888-ASK-CSN, and that's 888-827-5276. That's the number to call if you'd like to be on the air today and get an answer from the Bible on your questions on the Bible. And so joining me today, I'm so thrilled to be joined today by my good friend and constitutional attorney and the founder and president of the Pacific Justice Institute, and that is none other than Mr. Brad Dacus. Brad, thanks for being on with us today.
Oh, thank you, Scott. It's great to be on the program. Always enjoy our conversations.
Yes, and it's always a blessing to be with you. And since Brad's on the program today, as he is on Mondays, this would also be a great day to call in if any of you have questions concerning legal matters or any kind of questions concerning our freedoms and our liberties here in the United States. Brad specializes in that. In fact, that's what his ministry does. Brad, if you would, real quick, tell our listeners what you all do there at PJI.
You bet. We have 37 offices coast to coast. We defend religious freedom, parents' rights against the government, sanctity of human life, all without charge. And we're very unique, and we don't just cherry pick a few high profile cases. Our goal is to make sure that everyone gets help, that no one's left on the side of the road. And so we're actively involved all across the country, all without charge, working hard to make sure that everyone gets help, that no one's left on the side of the road. If anyone wants to keep up with our cases, our information, or support our work, we got great resources. They can get our e-newsletter. Just go to pji.org. That's P for Pacific, J for Justice, I for Institute.org, pji.org.
All right. And with that, we want to let you know, too, that Brad can be heard, besides here on Mondays on To Every Man an Answer, he can be heard here on CSN, on the network. Every day, there's a short feature that runs that is gives you information concerning PJI. And then also on the weekends, Brad, you have a radio program, half-hour program. What is that program's name, and what is that program about?
You bet. It's the Dacus Report, and I'm a little biased because it's my show, but I interview interesting people. Oftentimes attorneys talking about our cases across the country. Very interesting, very timely, very relevant, and relatable to people and their common struggles as Christians and so and parents. So I think it's, I'm a little biased, but it's on over 1,000 radio outlets across the country. It's on the CSN network, and of course that's on 400 plus stations alone across the country, and including some international. So it goes out to a lot of people, and it allows us to help a lot of people, because that's often where they hear about us and how we can come to their aid when they're going through struggles. And it's a real joy to do that. And if they want information, once again, about what we're doing to keep up with our cases, then go to pji.org. You know, I just found out about a victory that we had recently. Mm-hmm. It was in Ventura. There was a church that had a home for I think it's for women who were struggling with alcohol issues, drug issues. It was a ministry by this church, and the government was going to shut them down and say, mm-hmm. Oh, no, you can't do this because you're not technically meeting the license requirements, of, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. We sent a legal demand letter, and I just talked to the attorney and found out that it worked, and the government realized that they crossed their lines and that this is a ministry, not a state-approved secular entity doing rehab. and the government backed off. So good news. I love to see we love to see ministries thrive. A lot of governments don't like ministries to thrive, especially in states like California and New York and places in between, but that's what we do, and we love to go to bat for all kinds of ministries. Turning Point USA, TPUSA, we're representing them on a number of places. A Decision Point Youth Ministry for public schools, we represent them. It's just a real joy to go to bat for those furthering God's kingdom.
Right. And as far as local churches too, and those in
Yes.
churches that deal with this sort of thing, you help them as well, don't you, Mark or
Oh, yeah, and
Brad?
I'm really glad you mentioned that, Scott, because there's oftentimes churches that they want to start a new church, or let's say they're outgrowing their facility and they need a larger facility, and they're told by their expert local lawyer who doesn't really understand our LUPA and the constitutional law, they'll say, "Oh, you got to be in a place that's zoned for churches, and you're gonna have to build your church, you have to get permits, and it's gonna take 10 years." But what many people don't realize is that actually churches under the our LUPA statute and the Constitution, First Amendment, can actually move into an old shopping center or shopping store, supermarket, or an old bank, or an old movie theater, an old warehouse. It doesn't have to be something that's actually even zoned for churches. That's how much freedom and protection churches have. And churches can save a lot of time and a lot of money. We've helped churches do this, especially Calvary Chapels, overcome these kind of restrictions. And I've noticed Calvary Chapels, I've seen them in just about anything you could think of, including, on the beach and in a mobile home park for retired people. It's exciting to help them break through barriers and just go where God's called them to be. It's a real blessing to do that. We do it all without charge.
Yeah, well, that's wonderful to hear. As you know, we were talking before the program started, and our church is busting at the seams, and we desperately need a bigger building. So, we're weighing the options of trying to find a building to buy, or that compared to the cost of buying some land and building and all of that. So, it's wonderful to know that that you got our back there, and also, I want to let people know too, especially pastors who are listening right now. Number one, Brad is a wonderful teacher and preacher of the Bible. We've been blessed to have him at our church, and we need to have him again. I need to get you on the books and get you to come back to our church.
I'd like
And
that.
yes, we'd love to have you. And he's a great expositor of the Word of God, and we just enjoyed his preaching and teaching so much. And so that's wonderful. So I want to encourage you, pastors, if you're looking for someone to fill the pulpit, or you just want to have a guest speaker who knows what he's talking about when it comes to the Bible and legal things, boy, call Brad Dacus up, call him up, and have him come to your church. You'll be glad you did. And along with that, also, Brad's wonderful at sharing the Word of God, and we've been blessed to have him there. And also, there's been a couple occasions where I have given Brad a call. And either he himself or one of his attorneys have called me with legal questions or just issues, that we've ran onto that could be legal issues that we've asked. And Brad, you've always been so gracious to either give me a call and give me an answer legally, or have one of your attorneys to call. And you know what? That means the world to pastors. And so I just want to say God bless you so much for taking all those years of study, everything that you have invested and put in to what you do, and then offering that for free to churches and pastors and Christians and all of those ministries across the country. It's such a wonderful work you do. Thank you so much. And Brad didn't ask me to do this, but I would say, if PGI has been a blessing to you, or if it is currently, think about going to their website and give them a donation and help them out, so they can continue doing the work that they do. And so anyway, again, I'm Scott Parker. I'm in today for Mike Kessler. I'm the pastor of Calvary Chapel in Festus, Missouri, just south of St. Louis, and I'm your host today, and with me, Brad Dacus from the Pacific Justice Institute. And so if you've got a question on the Bible, the Christian faith, what's going on in the world right now, and especially Finally, if you have questions concerning legal issues, please give us a call. Today is a great day with Brad on to ask those questions. And in fact, we're going to go ahead and go to the phone lines now because we do have Kay from not too far from me here. She's in Mount Vernon, Illinois, which is just about an hour and a half to 2 hours from where we're located. And so anyway, Kay, it's great to have you on the program today. Welcome to Every Man an Answer. How can we help you?
Thank you. Well, I appreciate you making this service available. And I had called on Friday, and they had requested that I call back when Brad was on the air. But I had a question about, in my mind, or what I've always read in the Bible, you don't sue someone else. And I just currently, recently have undergone bladder cancer, which was misdiagnosed for 18 months. And I've had doctors tell me that this should have been caught sooner because, you know, first time you hear of my symptoms, the very first test you run, you know, is very simple and straightforward. But so anyway, my daughter is saying that I need to sue so that this doesn't happen to anyone else. And I just have always thought that, you know, it's biblically wrong to sue. So I guess that's my question.
Okay. Well, Kay, you know what? That is a wonderful question. It's a really, really good question. And I appreciate your concern. As being a Christian, you know, I know that you want to honor the Lord. You want to do what's right. And, you know, I'll just say this real quick. When it comes to the issue of a Christian taking someone to court for a suit, for an issue, the only stipulation that we see in the Bible is there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And in that situation, what Paul is saying is that Christians, and he's speaking to the church at Corinth. And you got to remember, the church at Corinth was a church that was greatly divided among itself. There was a lot of factions, there was a lot of arguments, a lot of divisions within that church. And so what they were doing is they, as Christians, were taking each other to court and suing them for issues that Paul said actually should have been settled within the church, okay? So that's what that issue is all about. Paul actually says, you know, why do you as Christians, whenever, number one, you have the Bible, you have the Holy Spirit, you know, you have leadership who's appointed to lead you, why would you take issues that you have with one another and take them to the, you know, if you use the King James, to the heathen, take them to the pagans, or take them to the world where the unbelievers are going to make these decisions concerning the differences that you have? And Paul says that should never be. You know, Paul says, because we have the Holy Spirit and because we have the Word of God, we should be in submission to the Word of God and to the Holy Spirit, to where when we do have differences as Christians, we should be able to come together and solve those differences by being humble to one another and before the Lord. And we should be able to be willing to let the Word of God judge our situations for us, okay? That's what that's all about, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. But when it comes to issues, you know, of neglect or issues where you have been wronged, and these are things that are legal issues that have to do with the law of our land, there is nothing wrong with when you can't get satisfaction, you can't get things taken care of, and you know you've suffered loss because of this in some way, there is nothing wrong at all with filing a lawsuit if you have to. And so, Brad, this is your expertise. I'm going to give that to you. And please give our sister some guidance here on this situation she's in.
Yeah, you bet. And I agree with everything you just said. And, you know, there are sometimes, like, I'll give you a personal example. I once had surgery. And I get my shoulder cuff or something. And as it turns out, the doctor didn't put the tube down, tighten it, you know, expand it out. It went into the lungs, you know, so you're knocked out and the oxygen is getting your lungs. Didn't tighten it enough. And so saliva went down and went into my lungs, and I had serious pneumonia in all three quadrants of the lungs, left side, upper, upper and lower right. Very, very serious condition, and could have been very life-threatening. My doctors, two doctors came in the room, and they said, I said, look, doctors, I understand what happened. I know why I'm here. I know what caused it. And I said, look, I understand, you know, medicine's an art. There was a misjudgment here, but you just take care of my bills. Don't bill me for this treatment for pneumonia. I'll call it even. And they were very delighted and surprised. But the reason was because I had, you know, rings in my throat, which are unusual. And so normal procedure protocol wouldn't have necessarily caught it and would have seemingly thought that it was done. So I understood that. Had the doctors, though, procedurally just didn't tighten it up at all, or, you know, were negligent or didn't do their proper testing that's protocol, then an action against them would have been very warranted, ethically, morally, because they need to be responsible to make sure, like your daughter said, so it doesn't happen again. And so that's the key. And it looks like your case is more of the latter, where there's basic protocol. They should have done testing and they didn't. So I think, you know, it's important for us to hold them accountable. And you want to get, you know, good ethical counsel in that regard. If you want, I could just leave your information and I can get back with you to see if there's some attorneys specializing in medical malpractice that in your area there in Illinois that might be able to assist you. But this is this is important that we hold people accountable when they are negligent, when they do not abide by standard basic protocol. That's important. But I at the same time, you know, you want to assess it and say, you know, was this something that is a gray area that, you know, like in my situation, I just thought, you know what, I have an unusual esophagus. I'm not going to hold him to that standard. But in your situation, I would probably do just that. I'd probably get an attorney who's skilled, has integrity, and, you know, seeks justice fully and completely for all concerned. So that's my two cents. But I agree with everything that Scott said. I think it's a proper way to go. We as Christians should avoid trying to sue one another. And especially, you know, some Christians say, you can't sue me, I'm a Christian. Well, to them I say, no, the context is take them to the church. Let this get resolved before the church. And if the other person doesn't respect the authority of the church, the spiritual authority of the church to resolve the matter and to seek justice and what's fair, in my opinion, then that's it. You're free then to take action against that person, perhaps. But even then, you want to weigh the cost, because once again, the world is watching. And I think sometimes it's better, as we see in Scripture, sometimes to rather be cheated than to hurt the testimony that God's given us as believers, depending on the situation, of course.
Mm-hmm. That's great advice. Great advice, Brad. And I'm glad you brought that up, because, you know, sometimes not all believers, you know, want to be compliant with God's word and with church leadership. And sometimes people's hands are forced to move in a legal way, even within the church, which is sad, but that's what Scripture tells us. And Kay, I think Brad gave you great advice. Did that help you out?
Sure did. He gave me very good advice. And I'm still kind of torn, because I've seen these, it's a group of ladies, and I've seen them for years, and I, you know, love them all. I mean, just very good rapport with them. And, you know, and they do know I'm a Christian, and I would hate to, you know, have them think poorly of Christians, you know, sure, over something like this. But, I mean, I'm still torn between it, just because, you know, part of me felt like I should have read the symptoms sooner myself. And so I've had a lot of guilt over that, that, you know, was this my fault for not seeing it? But no, at least I know now biblically, you explained that very well, and I appreciate it. And so now I'm just going to have to put it to prayer and let let the Lord put on me what he feels I should do.
Sure. Go ahead.
I was going to say the doctor that did my surgery told me that he said, well, you were very lucky and got a second chance at life. And I said, no, I said, I'm very blessed. And I know who gave me a second chance at life.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so I think my outcome is going to be better than what it should have been for someone who'd gone misdiagnosed for 18 months. And the Lord has given me, I now know what peace beyond all understanding means, because he's just given me the peace since the very onset of the diagnosis. So we serve a wonderful and great God.
Yes. Brad?
Also, you want to assess the potential damages, practically speaking. If it turns out, and it sounds like this may be the case, where you're going to prevail over this, the cancer is going to be defeated, you know, your damages are not nearly as great as opposed to a different outcome, you know, had they caught it early versus later. If you have the same basic outcome, i.e. that is you are able to survive and live a healthy life without a differential either way, then, you know, it also may not be worth it from that perspective, as opposed to different outcomes or different long-term ongoing issues that you may have to deal with now versus had they caught it early, i.e. maybe early they may not have had to remove that part of the body, but, you know, not this time they did, and then you may have to have, you know, other kinds of treatment. So that's just another factor to take into consideration, whether or not to move forward.
Yeah. And Brad, let's do this before she goes. Let's go ahead and pray for her. Could we do that? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And Brad, would you pray that the Lord would just give her wisdom of how to go forward from here? Because I can tell from her heart, she wants to do the right thing. She wants to honor God. But at the same time, I know she wants to make sure that, you know, that she's taken care of in this way and doesn't suffer, you know, too much loss because of this. So would you pray for God to give her wisdom for this?
Yeah, you bet. Father, first, we thank you so much for how much you love her, and the blessing that you've already given her number one, just to be a witness with regard to her faith and the hope that is within her, but also what seems to be a very positive outcome in the recent surgery and the feedback that she's received. We thank you for that, Father. But we pray for her to have also wisdom moving forward. Lord, we don't want people to get away with being irresponsible because they can end up doing that to others in the future. And at the same time, we don't want to be unreasonable and bring an action in a lawsuit that may end up being more stress and headache than it's worth to all parties involved. So we just pray for your wisdom. Let your Holy Spirit, Father, give direction. We know that you are a God who's not just given us the word, but you've also given us your Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us practically in real life issues and questions. So we right now, Father, in faith, call upon your Holy Spirit to give her that direction and give her that peace, Father, that goes with that direction as she moves forward. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah. And Father, we also pray for Kay that, Lord, what the doctors missed and whatever they messed up, Lord, would you please restore health to her?
Yes.
Completely. Father, we pray that she would have no complications from all this, Lord, and and that, Lord, she would just be made whole and be able to serve you, Lord, with everything she has. And we lift her to you again, as Brad said, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, Kay, thank you so much for the call. God bless you. If you would stay on the line, the folks at CSN have some things they would like to send out to you for calling in today. Thank you, and God bless you. And let's go ahead and go to the next line. Now, let me say, we have some lines open. So if you have a question today on the Bible, the Christian faith, current events, or any legal issues, today's the day to call since we have Brad Dacus with us. Please give us a call at 888-827-5276. That's 888-827-5276. That's 8888 Ask CSN. And we have lines open where we can get you on the air today. And so let's go ahead and now go to Juan in Las Vegas. Juan, welcome to the program. Hello, Juan.
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can hear you loud and clear. Hey, we've got about 2 minutes before the break. If you can ask your question, we'll begin to answer it before the break.
Okay. Okay. I'm a pastor in Las Vegas, Nevada. And mm-hmm. I was hearing Brad saying that if we're growing and we need to move into a bigger place, that would be possible. And I seen a few commercial properties around my area, like Walgreens or CVS and a shopping center is closed by, I don't know, by since pandemic, by COVID.
Yeah.
And I was hoping to get some info about how can I get into one of those properties, if it's possible.
Yeah, that's great. Classic example of the kinds of things we help with. The answer is, generally speaking, actually, those are places, I know what you're talking about because some have been shut down, and like Walgreens, those are places that often will work. It's the basic standard is, well, first off, you don't have any digging to do. If you don't have any digging, so there's no construction, you're just modifying what's already there. You can avoid an environmental impact report, which is really important, saves you lots of time. But yeah, that's they can't keep zoning, use zoning rules to keep you out. That, you know, they can show health and safety issues, but that's really difficult to do based on what you told me. I think those are very viable options. There's sufficient parking already there, presumably. So I would definitely look into that. You want to make sure you work with an agent if you want. I happen to know some people in Las Vegas, I think, that might be able to help you with that. So if you would leave your name and information with the with a producer, I'd be happy to get back with you on that. I'd love to preach at your church sometime too. It's always fun to drive to Vegas.
Juan, we hope that helps out with the music's coming on. So we're coming up on a break. So if you would stay with us, we'll be back with the second half of To Every Man an Answer here on this Monday in just a few moments.
If you could save a life, would you? Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country and gives the gift of life on average 200 times a day because of you. Meet Dan Steiner, president of Preborn.
God may well ask us. Our grandkids may well ask us. Back then in the late 20th, early 21st century, they were killing babies, Grandpa. What did you do about that? And you can say, I sponsored a baby for $28 an ultrasound for a mother to see her baby every month.
An ultrasound can be the difference between the life and death of a baby.
That ultrasound changed everything for me. It really did. That made it all worthwhile to know that I was going to have a little blessing. And when she got here, it was just, oh my gosh.
Preborn provides you with the opportunity to give the gift of life to a baby who desperately needs our help. For more information, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN.
Maybe this is you too. There's enormous frustration right now with healthcare costs. It is amazing. Healthcare costs for families in the last 20 years have almost tripled, and it just keeps getting worse. All this to say, this is why MediShare is so in demand right now. People are looking for alternatives, and MediShare is proven. You can save thousands of dollars a year and actually like it more. Over a million Americans are now part of healthcare sharing, and MediShare is the gold standard. It's trusted. It works. It's been helping people save money and have peace of mind now for 30 plus years. It's not some big impersonal thing either. It's a community of people like you helping each other. So yeah, if you're frustrated too, here's your chance to make a refreshing change. You'll notice the difference as soon as you call. They're easy to talk to. You can get a price within 2 minutes. Here is the number. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
Well, welcome back to Monday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. I'm Scott Parker, the pastor of Calvary Chapel in Festus, Missouri, just south of the city of St. Louis. Again, today for Mike Kessler, it's a joy to be your host today and to be on the program. And with me is the founder and president of the Pacific Justice Institute, Mr. Brad Dacus. And we're here to answer your questions on the Bible, the Christian faith, current events. And again, as we've said, if you have questions that concern legal issues, we have an attorney here to answer those for you as well. The number to call is 8888-ASK-CSN. That translates out to 888-827-5276. And so, Brad, thank you so much for the advice that you gave to Juan there as a pastor. And, you know, it's interesting. We were earlier talking about, you know, taking buildings, you know, that were designed for something else and turning them into churches. And of course, you've been to our church and you've seen it there on Main Street in Festus. And, you know, we bought a bar. That's what we bought. Our church used to be a bar, and we took it and turned it into a church. And now different spirits are served up there. Let me say a spirit, the spirit is served up there now instead of the spirits. So anyway, what a blessing. And speaking of our church, I want to give this announcement just really quick, because at our church, this will be June 27th, Saturday, June 27th, for anyone, any men ages 13 and up. So young men and men ages 13 and up, if you're interested, you're here in the St. Louis area and you're listening on to our CSN stations here in St. Louis. If you would like to join us, we're having a one-day men's conference Saturday, June the 27th, which is just a little less than 2 weeks away. And our guest speaker is four-time World Series champion from the New York Mets and the Dodgers and the New York Yankees, Daryl Strawberry. He is coming to join us. He's here local now, and so we're blessed to be able to have him as our guest speaker. We also have a wonderful worship leader, used to be the pastor of Calvary Chapel in Jacksonville, Florida, who's coming to lead us in worship and do special music. It's going to be a wonderful time. So if any men listening here on CSN in the St. Louis area, greater St. Louis area, and you would like to join us for that, you can go to our website, ccfestus.com, ccfestus.com/events. You can register there. We're taking registrations. We have 7 days left until this Sunday, June the 21st. So if you're a man, 13 and up here in the St. Louis area, and you want to come join us to hear Mr. Daryl Strawberry share his testimony and teach and preach the Word of God, it's going to be such a blessing to hear what God has done in his life and to hear him share the Word of God with us. So if you'd like to join us, that's where you can find information. And so now let's go ahead and go to the phones again. We have John on the line from Nevada. John, welcome.
Well, thank you.
How can we help today?
Well, first of all and foremost, I just wanted to let y'all know that I had been listening to y'all's radio station all day. I'm over at a friend's house doing some work on her property because she's got a little demon that seems to be getting loose. So trying to get her dog purred. But what I wanted to tell y'all is I've been listening to the station and it just drew me in. And it's not common for me. You know, God works in mysterious ways, but, I'm a cancer patient. And, if you hear me breathing, it's because I've been working out in this heat for most of the day. But, I heard y'all talk to a few people and I heard a lady talking about cancer. Well, I'm actually going through that too. I went to, when I was diagnosed last year in August, I had three options. Yeah. Doctor had told me that I could do chemo and radiation, or I could have my bladder removed and wear a colostomy, or take the 2.5 years. And being in Nevada with no family and very, very few friends and not having that moral support, I wanted to just take the 2.5 years. But later, I had four doctors that kind of convinced me, and I'm just really sick at my stomach because now they're saying that there's more cancer. And that's not what they had told me. So I just feel like I'm being taken advantage of. And I have my landlady that's fixing to cut off my electric and my water. And I need that desperately or I will die. So I've been praying and asking for help.
Okay. And so, John, let me ask you this. In what you pay your landlady, is your utilities included in that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's why
I'm not able to pay because I'm not able to work. All right.
Yes, exactly. So, Brad, what can John do? Is there anything legally he can do in this particular situation?
Well, as far as your immediate needs, as far as place to stay, water, land, I mean, I happen to know in Las Vegas there are programs where you can get assisted housing when you can't work and you're like in your situation. So please leave your name and information, phone number with the producer. I'll get back with you on that possible avenue there. As far as the doctors not telling you everything, I guess if they said, you know, they only said you had cancer in one place and therefore have 2.5 years, but you actually have cancer and he had cancer in other places that they didn't disclose. Yeah, that's a definite potential medical malpractice issue because you have an obligation to know all the information so you can make the best decision at the time that you can make. Now, if at the time they didn't know you had multiple cancers and it was later on, it's another ball game. But it seemed like based on what you said is they knew it, they just didn't disclose it and therefore gave you a false impression of having 2.5 years when maybe that may not be the case. You know, I think that's really the question. I will ask you, they knew you had cancer in more places and that 2.5 years was not an accurate assessment. Is that correct?
Now, they knew, but they weren't going to tell me about it. I didn't know about it until I went to visit my primary for a checkup. And okay. She got in and did an ultrasound and she looked on her system through the files and she said, this isn't right.
Yeah, and it may not be. If she was able to find that the doctors who initially gave you that counsel knew that cancer was in other places, that's what you need to be able to show, because cancer can metastasize. It can spread, as we know, beyond one area. And so, if you can show that they knew and they did not disclose it, then that would be a potential medical malpractice case. I'm really sorry to hear of your situation. I understand you are not receiving any treatment. Is that correct?
Receiving any treatment because of the fact that I'm represented by law and I'm having to fight with my landlady. When I got out of the hospital, I'm 62 years old. When I got out of the hospital, I think it was absolutely disgusting that she had forced me to go out and forced to go out and work. And the only thing I could find at the time was side work because when I was getting approved with my disability, you know, you're not allowed to work. And so I did. It got reported, and I got denied. But, she's also threatening to cut my electric and my water within the next 2 weeks. And we're right in a dead heat of summer, and I'm outside right now, and I'm gasping for, you know, shortness of breath.
Because
Sir?
You can't work at all now? Is that right?
I'm not supposed to, but how do I take care of my priorities? How do I put fuel in my car to get to my appointments?
It seems like working might be, I know you want long-term disability coverage, but it seems like if you can work, I mean, my advice to you is if you can work, I would get a job and work, and you can often get medical insurance from your employer and have things really move around. In fact, landlords are often have a different perspective if they know that someone is trying to get a job, they're trying to work. I know you've got your medical issues, which are very real, but sometimes long-term disability I find is actually more of a hindrance than a help, because it actually encourages people to be inevitably a worse situation. If you can work, I encourage you to go that route and get health insurance and maybe work it out with your landlord to say, hey, look, I've got a job now. I'm going to put forth this much money. I'm going to pay you the rent starting this day and then make up for what I wasn't able to pay. If you owe a rent, you owe a rent, and you should, of course, try to do everything you can to pay that which you owe her. But I would if you can work, I would definitely work. Don't let long-term disability keep you from working in the long run. You're usually better off and have better care and coverage. That's just my two cents on that.
Okay. Brad, thank you so much for that advice. And John, also too, do you have a home church? Do you have a pastor in a church that you're part of?
You know, that's another touchy subject. When I came first down here from Texas in 2017, I've been to three different churches. And, you know, it's just heartfelt because the Calvary that I went to in Dayton, you know, it seemed like I poured myself out and walked up to the front. I had a few gentlemen, you know, but I still really didn't need somebody to talk to. And it seemed like everybody was in a rush to walk out the door to go to lunch. So I grew up at Baton Rouge Church of Christ in Houston, Texas, you know, all my life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've lost a lot of my family members. So I'm here now. So it's tough.
Okay. Well, sure. And as a pastor, that's why I'm asking, because, you know, the folks who attend our church, that find themselves in this kind of position and stuff, we do everything we can to financially help them. You know, sometimes people just need a leg up when things have happened in their life and they just need some help. And you know what? God has called us as believers to help one another. And so I would just encourage you too, along with what Brad said, is, you know, try your best to find you a local church there, and maybe even reach out to a church or two and say, hey, here's my situation, like you explained to us today, and just say, is there anything you can do to help me through that? You might end up finding some loving people who, you know, were willing to help you and might end up finding a home church that way. And so, John, you know what, before we let you go here, and we hope what we've shared has been a help, or what Brad shared has been a help, but we want to pray for you. Real quick before we go. So Brad, would you do that for John? Would you pray for his health?
Yeah, Father, we lift up John to you, and Lord, all he's going through and his health. Father, you know his body inside and out. You know every cell in his body. Father, we pray, Father, for your healing power to get rid of that cancer. You know, Lord, you know, we don't demand it, oh Father, because you know everything, Lord God. We can put our trust in you. But as children cry out to their fathers, Abba, Father, we cry out to you now, Lord, to the loving God that you are, the powerful God that you are, that you will find it, Lord God, to heal him and to get rid of this cancer, and to lift his spirits, and also to open his eyes to what you want him to do, where you want him to go. And whether it's there or to move on to someplace else, Father, and most importantly, pray, Father, for him to cling to you, and not to lose this opportunity to grow in his faith in you, Father. It's in the hardest times when we're stretched the most is when our faith has the potential to grow the most, and we pray for him, Lord, in that way as well, that he'll find a group of believers and a church, and he'll really grow in his closeness and his walk with you as he faces these very monumental challenges to his health as well as to his financial situation. We thank you for hearing our prayer, Father, right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. John, thanks so much for the call, and we'll keep you in prayer, and all of our listeners that are listening right now, please keep John in prayer. If you would stay on the line, we have some things we'd like to send out to you for calling in today, and let's go ahead now and go to Arizona. A lot of West Coast calls here, and so we have Christine on the line. Christine, welcome to Every Man an Answer.
Hello. I'm trying to find out if we still need to keep the Ten Commandments, because I know my sister's husband commits adultery, and that's breaking the Ten Commandments, but he believes that the commandments are not binding now that Jesus is here. And I wanted to know if all Ten Commandments are still written in stone, and if they did not go away when Jesus came.
Sure. Well, Christine, thanks for calling, and thank you for that question. You know, your question that you have is a very common question that I find that a lot of Christians have, because they're kind of confused about what parts, if any parts, of the Old Testament law, you know, the law of Moses, you know, are there any of those laws that we should keep today or we should follow today? You know, and I do find that when it comes to the relationship of the law and the Christian, that there's some confusion concerning that because we're in the new covenant now. So what do we do with things like the Ten Commandments, right? Because if you follow the Ten Commandments, they're all very good. And so anyway, Brad, I'm going to go ahead and give this question to you first. I'm going to go ahead and let you answer. And then I'm going to follow up because, you know, there's a few things that she was saying. You know, the first question I would have, and I think she's already off the line, but the first question I would have is, I think it was her brother-in-law, she said, first of all, is he a Christian? Because, you know, it's hard for me to believe that someone who is born again, who has the Spirit of God and the Word of God would think that committing adultery is okay because we're not under the Ten Commandments or not under the old law from the Old Testament anymore because Paul had a lot to say without even talking about, you know, Old Testament law. He had a lot to say in the New Testament about sexual immorality or what is some of our Bibles read fornication or sexual immorality, which Paul says is a work of the flesh. That is a work and a behavior that is of the old nature, of the sinful nature we have. So this question isn't just about the Ten Commandments, which we're going to address that. But really, this question also, it just concerns me because if a person says, I'm a Christian, but I don't have to obey the Ten Commandments, so therefore sexual immorality is okay, we've got a major problem now, don't we, Brad?
Oh, we do. And in reality, Jesus, you know, didn't come to cancel the law, but to fulfill the law. In fact, he actually rose us to an even higher standard in Matthew 5, 28. I like this. Verse 27, we'll start. He says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. Verse 28, he says, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So we don't have a lower standard. We have a higher standard. If we have hate in our heart, we're guilty of murder. You know, and in verse 32, it says, but I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. I mean, that's once again a higher standard. Back in the Old Testament, Moses made it pretty easy, and Jesus says, well, it's, you know, you were demanding a way out. But in reality, that's not God's perfect will. God's will is for you to meet your commitments of marriage and to honor that. And so I think really the real question is not do we have the Ten Commandments? It's what higher standard has God given us above the Ten Commandments? And Christ is clear about it. The Apostle Paul is clear about it. And the most exciting thing about this is we're not driven and fueled by just our own, you know, efforts, but rather by our walk with a living God and a living Holy Spirit and a realization of powerful forgiveness. He was forgiven little, loves little. He was forgiven much, loves much. And it's that love of God and the work of the Holy Spirit sanctifying us that allows us to be able to go far beyond just the law of the Old Testament and specifically the Ten Commandments.
Yes, that's a great answer. And so, boy, this is a big subject. And I want to start off by saying this. I totally agree with everything you just said. It is all Bible. It's all wonderful. And it's very interesting, too, because as you quoted there, Brad, where Jesus said, I've came to didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill. Also in the Jewish mind, that word fulfill also means to clearly explain that Jesus was telling his crowd there on the Sermon on the Mount. Of course, he was speaking to his disciples. No doubt there were other people around, but what he was doing is he was actually explaining the law to them, because what happens is he actually says, you've heard it said from them of old. In other words, your rabbis and your sages have taken God's word and they've told you things that like are in the Ten Commandments, such as you shall not commit adultery. And when Jesus said that, you know, any Jewish men who would have been in the crowd that day would have said, amen, that's right, that's what our law says. But then when Jesus says, but I say to you, if you look upon a woman to lust for her in your heart, or to lust for her, you've already committed adultery in your heart. And so what's interesting is what Jesus was showing them is something that Paul brings up in the New Testament. Paul talks about both the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. And we know from the Old Testament that God did get to a point with Israel where when they abandoned the spirit of the law and thought they were righteous because they were keeping the letter of it, that God was like, especially in Isaiah chapter 1, like, you know what? I don't want your feast days anymore. I don't want your sacrifices, your Sabbaths and your feast days mean nothing to me now because you've lost the spirit of the law. You've lost the heart of it. Why was Israel supposed to keep the law of God? It wasn't just to be blessed, but it was because they were supposed to love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, and mind. That's what Jesus said was the greatest commandment of all. And so what the Jews were doing by the time we come to Jesus' day is they were following in their mind, they were following the letter of the law. Well, just because I've never had sexual intimacy with a woman who's not my wife, I'm not guilty of adultery. And then Jesus says, no, the law actually goes deeper than that. It goes deeper than the letter. There's a spirit behind it. There's a reason God told us not to commit adultery, because every sin that we commit is an affront, is a personal affront to the nature of God. God tells us not to commit adultery. Why? Because he wants his people to be like him. God is faithful. And so he wants us to be faithful in our commitments and our relationships. And so what's interesting is Jesus is actually explaining to them, listen, it's not enough just to keep the letter of the law outwardly and externally. If you're breaking the law in your heart, then the outward is no good now. And so it's very interesting, Brad, just like you said, what Jesus actually tells us there on the Sermon on the Mount is this, that the seeds of sin in God's eyes are equal to the deeds of sin. In other words, if we're thinking it and we have it in our heart, it's already there. We're already guilty. We may not even done it physically yet, but whatever we think and how we think in our mind is what's going to lead to our behavior. And so I find it very interesting that, you know, that Jesus mentions that and that he says that the law, the letter of the law goes, it goes way beyond the letter and the outward, it goes to the heart. And so, you know, Paul mentions that in the New Testament, that there's the letter of the law and then there is the spirit of the law. And what God is more interested in is the spirit of the law, because whenever we love the Lord our God and we want to please him, then we are not going to break his commandments. Now, real quick, let me just say this. When it comes to the Ten Commandments, are Christians bound to keep the Ten Commandments under the New Testament, under grace, you know, as followers of Jesus? My answer as a pastor to that would be yes. Yes, we are. Here's why. What you have to understand is that the Mosaic law, or the law that God gave to Israel through Moses, that law actually had three different sections or categories of laws. There was the Ten Commandments. And if you remember when Moses came down off the mountain there at Sinai with the law of God, what was it? It wasn't all 613 commandments. It was 10. It was the Ten Commandments that were written by the finger of God on two stone tablets. And those were the Ten Commandments. And so what's interesting is when it comes to the Ten Commandments are the moral law of God, which don't only apply to the Jewish people, but they apply to every person. And why do we say that? Because Paul tells us that in Romans 2. Paul in Romans 2 says the Gentiles or non-Jews who do not have the law actually are a law unto themselves when they break it, because the law of God has been written on the conscience and the heart of every man. That's why when you go to places that don't have the Bible or have never heard of Jesus, they still understand that stealing is wrong. They still understand that the laws in the Ten Commandments, that those things are wrong, because the law of God is written on man's heart and his conscience. Now, the other sections of the law, which are the civil laws and the ceremonial laws, those laws are not repeated for us in the New Testament for us to obey, because they applied to the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, as they lived in the land of Israel, okay? Those don't apply to us. We don't have to keep those. That's very clear from the New Testament. But the only thing, the only part of God's law that is repeated for us by the New Testament writers for Christians to obey is the Ten Commandments, which is the moral law of God that applies to everyone except the Sabbath day, because the Sabbath day was a token between Israel and God. So there you go, Christine. We hope that helps. Brad, thanks for being on the program today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
God bless you all. Thank you for tuning in. And until tomorrow, God bless you. And we hope you have a blessed evening.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.